Some of the things that I want to go over tonight will be repeats, I'm sure, of things that Pastor Mary's been sharing on healing. I was deciding, you know, which direction to go, and it seemed right just to stay right on the topic of healing, the reinforcement back and forth. There's something that has started really, you know, stirring in my heart and in Dennis's heart for a while back. Because as we've been praying this vision scripture about, you know, the eyes of our heart, you know, flooded with light, and the Lord would just keep impressing on us about the light. And you can know that you could have taught something yourself. You could have heard something last week. And you can hear it again, but there's a different light on it. Mm-hmm. You're more open. Maybe the revelation is coming forth from it. And it seems like there's such a stirring in the spirit right now. The eyes of our heart are flooded with light. We have that spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of Him, that we know the hope of our calling and the light coming in. And so I want to start with a part that even is from the health food devotional. It's from a testimony Brother Hagen had shared, and he even has given some more of the testimony in another place, where when he was in that, you know, bed of sickness and he was bedfast for that long period of time, he will say that there came a time that his mind, that what he was starting to see was his funeral. He was starting to see everything. And when you're in that position, you'll hear other people talk about it. I mean, they can hear the songs. They can hear, you know, they have all the deep details. And he got a hold of the scripture, which Pastor Mary has shared so many times, and we will go again to tonight, is in Proverbs 4, 20, 21, and 22. And it says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not be depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they, God's words, are life unto those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh." The part that I want to even talk about a little bit more is, let them not depart before your eyes. The thing that I remember him even saying, that if you don't let this depart from your eyes, you will start to see yourself healed. And when you start to lose that vision that you're healed, or any other of the blessings from redemption, then know that that word has started to depart from your eyes. And so his testimony in this about your eyes, what you keep before your eyes, he talked about, and I'm just going to read right out of the book. It says, "Back in September of 1951-57, I knew an 82-year-old evangelist who had been bedfast for 2 years with cancer in her stomach. Doctors couldn't understand how she'd even lived that long. When they opened up her body and saw several malignant growths, they just sewed her back up. They said nothing more could be done. I felt led, Holy Ghost, to read Proverbs 4:20-22 to her. I said to her, when I was on the bed of sickness, I got a hold of these verses and saw one place where I had been missing it. It says in 21, says, not let the word depart from before your eyes. And this is a turning point for me. You see, I had seen myself dead. But when I got a hold of this scripture and put the word of God before my eyes, I began to see myself alive. I began to see myself doing things I'd never done before." So I shared that with this dear woman. Every time you look at that stomach that's so huge, see it down flat. See yourself preaching again. God doesn't want you to die like this. You can die if you want to, but let God heal you first and then die. Don't die like this. He won't get any glory out of that. So then later on, he's at this meeting, and this lady comes up and hugs him, and he's, you know, all like, who is this lady? He doesn't even recognize her. And so then she goes to tell him, you know, that she is so grateful for what she shared. She said, "I'm so glad that you didn't let me die. It would have been the easiest thing in the world for me to just die and go on to heaven." She's, you know, she's 82, and she'd done an amazing ministry.
But I started thinking after you left, and every time I looked at that huge stomach, I saw it flat. I saw myself winning souls and preaching again. I saw myself well. Within 2 or 3 months' time, I saw my stomach go down, and in the process of time, my stomach flattened out, and all the symptoms left me. But you can see from what she said, she was seeing that stomach flat. She was seeing herself preaching, but it says after 2 or 3 months' time, then her stomach started going down. Yeah. So before she had physical evidence on the outside, she was already seeing the other. Now, we read this testimony and we think, okay, you know, I'll just do that. I'll just see myself well. I'll just see myself without that. But we realize this lady, too, she had been an evangelist. She knew the word. She was preaching it. And so there is a process in the seeing. And we've all talked about that. But it's become even more real to me in recent months about the part that the meditation plays in what we see. Mm-hmm. When you are meditating on a truth, that truth starts painting a picture in your heart. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a time when we try to get too many things, too many scriptures, reading too many things, and we had a partial revelation of a lot of them, but we didn't have them where that truth was so painted in our hearts that we knew, but we knew. And as I had been studying this, I started listening to a teaching from Andrew on hope. Well, you know, it's an amazing teaching. So some of you have heard it. And I will have to recommend the rest of you listen to it, because you know how he will give things line upon line. And for me to even try to give you a synopsis of it, yeah, I would not be able to do it well. But it was a truth. Some of these truths were things I already knew. Mm-hmm. It was just bringing the facts with it. Because he's talking about with meditation, and we'll just go to a couple scriptures, that the part of meditation and the part of meditating, you can't really meditate on the word. You can't really meditate without using your imagination.
Right.
And I'd heard people talk about getting a Bible story and getting that where they were living and they were in it. And they were, you know, they were imagining that. They were imagining the Lord. And I thought, oh, that's good. But I had not really done that next measure myself. But there is even basis. There's many scriptures where Andrew goes through and he shows that understanding and imagination go together. I just want to go to Psalms 1, 2, and then we'll go to one place, I think, to show the start of this. He's talking about meditation. And in 1:2, of course, this is going to be amplified. His delight and desire in the law of the Lord, and on the law does he meditate day and night. And in that part of meditation there is also a place there that in other translations gives you the same thing with imagination. And in 2:1, it says, why do the nations assemble and why do people imagine an empty scheme? Those words, if you do imagine 2:1 and you use verse 1, verse 2 on understanding, those words are the same. So in one place it's translated understanding, another place it's translated imagination. And of course Andrew goes through many different places of showing the difference that understandings and imaginations are together. And it just makes sense. You know that many times in the Old Testament it talked about imaginations, but I think that for one time it's in a negative sense.
in the Tower of Babel. He brings confusion to their language because he says whatever they imagine, they'll be able to do. It talks about in high imaginations. When it comes to, you know, when we talk about casting down high imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, of course, that's in Corinthians, that's in the New Testament. Okay, if it says to cast down high imaginations, where did those imaginations come from? From the devil. The high imaginations. So we can have imagination work for us, and we have imagination work against us. And you know that anything that the devil perverts, God has impurity, and God has with purpose. So when we know that the enemy can, and just think how many times does you start really thinking about it. Has there been a negative image? There's probably right now, if we could think, there's been some negative image that's tried to be implanted in our heart. There's probably some negative thing that we've thought about, some negative imagination that we've had to deal with. And so when it says to cast down the high imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if there is the negative part of imagination, do we not know that there is the positive part of imagination? And, of course, and Andrew goes on and explains in great detail about how imagination and hope go together. And hope, you know, I think we've talked so much about faith, you know, and it talks about, you know, that faith is the evidence of things hoped for. But I realize that you have a picture painted in your heart with hope. And if you do not have a picture of victory, a picture of the Word of God, if your imagination is not painting a picture of victory in your heart with hope, there is nothing for faith to hook onto. And you can see how God, if we can even just look at an illustration, how God will use positive imagination. He wants us to have a picture that comes from meditation. As we meditate on these truths, it starts painting a picture in our hearts so strong that on the inside of us, in our spirit, where we receive that truth is solidified in us. And so we know that you have to have, that hope is a positive imagination. And when God was telling Abraham, before he would have had all the scriptures we have, he said, you know, you're going to be the father of many nations. What did he do right away to give Abraham? He said, your seed is going to be like the sand of the shore. Your seed is going to be like the stars of the heaven. He even told Abraham, come out of your tent. Come outside. Come out of your tent and look up to see the stars. Sometimes the enemy can have had us with a picture that is so strong in our hearts, it's almost like if we're not careful, it's got a lid on us. And God is endeavoring through the Word of God, through what he would speak to us, to paint a picture in our heart. And he said, Abraham, come out of that tent. Come out of that place where the lid's on and look up. Yeah. And when he looked up at those stars, and so God gave him a visual. And it said then later on, it says, in hope against hope in Romans, that he believed God. You know, his womb, you know, he knew Sarah's womb was barren. He knew he was too old. But there came a time when he saw it. You know, yes, he, you know, can you imagine that? You know, there's sand everywhere.
You know, I heard someone, you know, that was real funny, and he was talking about his wife sweeping. He goes, oh, there's Susie. Oh, there's Johnny, you know. I mean, God has given them this picture. Because where is he? There's sand everywhere. Mm-hmm. Every day of his life, if he would have looked up, you know, it could have been he's in the desert area. There's not going to be clouds. He's going to see stars, and he's going to see sand.
Lots of stars.
He goes, God was giving him a bigger, bigger, bigger vision. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is, the teacher. He's the revealer. And he's continually wanting this to come alive in us and paint pictures in us. I remember when Pastor Mary kept rehearsing over and over, and I know Pastor had done it too, and some of the rest of us, some of the people, we all started saying, you know, we've already got it. We're not trying to get healed. We've already got it. And Pastor would say, you know, we've already, you know, we're not the sick trying to get healed. We're the healed resisting sickness. What was that doing?
Yes.
Painting a picture. We know from the truth of what Jesus did. We know from the final things. And then even on something not just with healing, but, you know, the last few times we've been here, when Pastor has talked about the church, he has talked about Jehovah Jireh, and he would use the term the rams in the thicket. He says, I don't know where the building is at this point, but he said, I know the rams in the thicket. What were those words doing? They were painting a picture for us in the church of pastor's assurance that even where Abraham, he did not have to slay Isaac, God said, hey, there, I'm Jehovah Jireh, and there's a ram in the thicket.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit wants to continually bring scriptures to us, truth to us, that so paints the picture in our hearts, that with that positive imagination, how our hope is continually being restored. And with that hope, it says, being totally restored, and what we see in our minds, it says the mind who stayed on the Lord, that part there refers to imagination, and it also reserves to conception. What we have that comes to us from the truth of God's word, and our imagination starts dwelling on, it's like a womb. And wherever your imagination, whether it's towards victory or defeat, towards God or something else, wherever your focus is, that will start producing in your life. And that's why we come back to the Word of God and the meditation in His Word, so that these truths are so real. I remember a time when it started becoming so real to me that this is all past tense. And, you know, and I think bothers would say, now, if God has put it past tense, you need to.
Amen.
He's already healed us. He's already redeemed us from the curse. He's already taken these things. And so in your imagination, in your thought life, all of a sudden it's like, oh, yes, it's past tense. You know, how many people did Brother Hagin talk about that when they would get a hold of, by his stripes, you were healed, past tense, they were able to move into faith. And so I want us to take just a couple minutes, and just I want us to use our imagination on something. You know, it says in Matthew 8, you know, 17, it says that he took our infirmities. You know, he bare our sicknesses. And we know from the Old Testament that it refers to the bearing of sins with a scapegoat. And I think that when I realized that Jesus not only had those stripes on his back, I could see in a movie, I could see that with my natural eyes. I could visualize that even from my natural part of him having stripes. But when it said he became a substitute and he bore all of our sicknesses, he bore all of our sins, It says that he was marred more than any man.
When we can start to know that any infirmity that tries to be on us, he bore. Every tumor, every skin disease, every cancer, everything of deficiency, every mental problem, everything, he bore it. He bore it. And says, and what he bore, I need not bear.
Amen.
Let's stay on that for a minute.
Amen.
What he bore, I need not bear. Lord, you didn't bear it in vain.
Amen.
You didn't bear it in vain. Let's stay on this for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. What he did. He didn't just relate to it. He took it. It was on him. The whole weight of the curse, he bore it. Any blindness, any loss of hearing, anything, he bore it. He took it on his body. I think when we let the Holy Spirit paint that picture in us, it helps us to rise up and say, I refuse that. If he paid the price for that, and he bore that, I refuse. I refuse to have that on my body. What he already bore, the price he paid. He carried it away. He removed it to a distance. Sin and sickness have passed from me to Calvary. And salvation and health have passed from Calvary to me. With complete removal. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
He not only bore them, but in his own person he endured them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I am letting this imagination and this pondering and this going over and over scriptures, let's go to Galatians 3:13 together. Thank you. Positive expectation, positive imagination. I can see that as these truths getting more and more in our hearts, and these things painting in our hearts, we know that we are a spirit being, and we know what gets to be more real on the inside of us.
I believe that through the power of the Holy Ghost and through meditating on these truths, that these truths are going to be more and more so real in our hearts. So real in our hearts that as we were talking about when things come up, this is what's going to come up out of our hearts. It says, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse of the law, himself becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. I want us to stay on the scripture for just a little bit. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Any form of the curse. And you know, I recognize that I probably had more negative thoughts in the area of poverty than I have even with healing. You know, I started almost having a real fear of retirement. You know, of what we're going to do with retirement. You know, will they still want us to come preach when we're 85 years old? You know, I mean, it was, and I started to recognize that my hope, because, you know, where was I at? Because I wouldn't have told anybody till tonight, but I didn't tell Dennis, but I would start to have pictures painted of what will we do. And then you're thinking, and then you have this regret, like you should have done this or should have done that. But I knew not to let myself stay there.
Amen.
And as we've talked about, the same truths are true with this. And he redeemed us from the curse of poverty.
Amen.
You know, and I recognize there's a whole nother level that comes that we're going to talk about at the very end. Is we meditate these truths. We let these truths live in our hearts. But then we got to do some speaking.
Yeah.
We have to do some declaring.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not just putting down the negative,
right. But
it's having from, but not just trying to speak it because we know to speak it. It's because this is the picture that we have in our hearts that we've gotten from the Word of God, from the meditation, from the imagination in our hearts, and from that place declaring what's going to be. And so, that's the reason I am so grateful for this church. Because, you know, there have been some times when I just heard some things said and I thought, Leanne, you're not going there. You're not going there. You are redeemed. Because you could think, well, with this I've done some right choices, but this maybe we didn't make some right choices. You start to disqualify yourself.
Yeah, right.
And that's not the truth. The truth is, and the thing is, God can do things from some other way.
Right.
You know, I had it all said. It all had to be from what we were doing in the ministry.
Right.
What we got to do is obey God, believe Him, put these truths in our heart, and be using our faith. And then, because then I caught what picture? So we are redeemed from spiritual from sin. We're redeemed from sickness, and we're redeemed from poverty.
Amen.
And it has been, there's been such a stirring in Dennis and I's hearts recently, even more about pressing into God and these truths. And we are going to finish our course, and we're going to do all God wants us to do.
Amen.
And so the thing is, so with these truths of being redeemed from the curse, we are redeemed from the curse.
Amen.
We are redeemed
Amen.
From the curse.
Amen.
Let's just stay on that for a little bit.
Amen.
We're redeemed from the curse.
Amen.
We are redeemed from the curse. Jesus has already paid the price. He redeemed us. We're on the other side. We already have it. Hallelujah. I thank you these truths. And again, it's going to be meditating on the Word. It's the same scriptures with prosperity. I've been going over them, but I recognize if that's what it was. See, these things are not all so bad when you start to have a negative imagination. It's just that it's a red light. It's a big red light. And I think we even need to have a few sirens on. You know? And you know, when we start to have a day, and it's about relationships, about jobs, you know, about these different things, and there starts to be a negative picture. We have been with people, two different people recent days, that have passed away from cancer. And,
You know, and I just had an anointing that came sometime with all the operations or the medicine or something where they were not saying a negative thing. But somehow, even like the twisting of the thoughts with the meditation, you could just tell someplace along the line, an imagination of the other way, even though it was not being spoken,
mm-hmm.
It was there.
It was there. Mm-hmm.
And it started overpowering.
Oh, yeah.
It started overpowering the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I can see that these truths are so important. Because then sometimes people that have been stronger before, but they're also in a horrific car accident. They're having operations. They're having all these things come against them. And the other's imagination is wanting to start to say, and with this one couple, I'm just mad. No, they are not getting robbed. They have been so amazing all of their lives. They have done so much for God. And I am so disgusted that some of these amazing people of God, that they've ended their lives, be so hurtful. You know, and so you can only do your part, but where you can come in and plug that face, it seemed like Dennis and I lately, well, we've been so much, it's coming alongside. But then what's so good is the fact that these truths are getting to be so much more real to me. I'm not trying to pump myself up,
Amen.
You know, to go into the room to speak to them. And so even in all these areas, he has redeemed us from the curse. And any imagination, because you know what it happens? Those evil imaginations, they take away your hope.
Yeah.
And you may not be saying anything, but then where does faith come in to hook up with? You know, and so the thing that you know, it isn't all bad, because when you start to have that, and then you start to rise up and say, oh, no, 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 no. We are not having that. That door is getting closed. And so I think part of it, Andrew brought this up again so much, is that people are so busy. But there has to be time of the word.
Amen.
And there has to be the time of chewing on something.
Yeah.
And meditate on it. And then to be real honest and say, is this living in me?
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you can have something stronger, and then you can get busy and tired.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And all of a sudden that old thought. Because I will tell you, what I just shared with you hadn't bothered me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, something happened. You know, and then you recognize too what starts to happen is fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we need to become so aware when a spirit of fear is coming in. Because some of this can be so subtle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's where, you know, when we would think about things in the natural and doing something, you know, if someone bought you well, it's kind of frivolous, but it sounds like a pair of shoes. And they even, you know, they say, oh, I'm going to buy you a pair of shoes. They paid for it, and you have the receipt in your hand, and they've even bagged it up for you. If you went back in that line again with your shoes all bagged up and the receipt in your hand and wanted to pay for it again, we would all think your elevator doesn't go to the top. Right?
Right.
But will we subconsciously let something that's been paid for? We've got the receipt. We've got the receipt right in our hand.
Yeah.
We have it packaged with everything of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're trying to go back and it's like, pay for it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said with that. On that line. If I give Josh this, Lord has given this to you, and now we come up and say, Lord, show me, there's one more thing you must do to obtain this. Let's say this represents healing. Mm-hmm. There's just one more thing.
Then you go.
But you've already got it.
Yeah.
So in other words, this happened. Andrew shared this. One person, the man came by and says,
This one, Lord, show me this one more thing you need to do. Mm-hmm. Well, you've already got it. Because that's what the truth says.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. We've already got it.
Nothing more. Mm-hmm.
Nothing more. But the subtle thing was, it's interesting someone say, the Lord showed me. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. The Lord showed me the word and I already got it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So,
amen.
So just, you know, how subtle that can be. How subtle. Yeah. Yeah. Not we don't know this, but Lynn was sharing that. Hallelujah.
I want to finish on one part of speaking. Are we done? Okay, but on that part. Or does that fit with you?
No.
Okay. So the next part that, I said laugh because when we first came into, back into the church and pastors, you guys were all talking about, one particular minister so much, I kind of thought, really? And I was kind of slow to hook up. But then as I've been listening to this man of God, there are things that he has said that has made me realize some things I needed to do. And again, it came the part of the speaking. I know that there's a place that, we are talking about, we're confessing, that by his stripes we're healed. Mm-hmm. We know that, we say that we'll not forget any of his benefits. We give scriptures. But then, as I would hear him speaking to his body, speaking to other people's body, and speaking, because I thought, it really does come back. You get the truth painted in your heart, but you have to still possess the land.
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus has already paid for all of this. We don't have to work anymore to get it. It's already done. But because it is a finished work, and in the Spirit, it is a finished work. But we have to receive that finished work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to appropriate that finished work. And there comes a time when sometimes you have to speak to fear and say, you be gone. You resist doubt.
Yeah.
You speak to this body part,
mm-hmm.
and you speak what needs to be repaired. You speak what needs to be received. You re-speak mm-hmm. what needs to come in line. We are speaking over our grandson, that new path in his brain, and old ones be renewed. We have certain things we are declaring and speaking and commanding to come into place. We recognize that things in even the prosperity realm, that things are not going to be stolen from us. Mm-hmm. That we have favor. There is an activation. And so what it is like we're talking about, I think there's got to be a place where we are really chewing and meditating on the Word. So we're painting the picture in our heart. And then we don't get under condemnation, but we're real honest if we start to recognize, that I still need to paint that more. And then the next thing is, when it says you cast down the high imagination, when it says you bring every thought captive, we do it.
Yes.
And then the next part is that in praise the Lord, we know that it's the finished work. Mm-hmm. We continue to meditate on what he's already done for us. We get this painted so clear in our heart, but it's the speaking. Mm-hmm. And I remember Joyce Meyer saying, it's not just not speaking the negative. It's the speaking what you want. It's the speaking the positive. It's speaking to, your eyes. No, you will not degenerate. No, life is in you. Whatever it is. And then I think with the speaking, there is the thanksgiving. And I can see you can get in the Word and you're meditating it and you let these truths be the picture that's on the inside of you. But then there's the declaring and there's the praising. And I think that if he can ever get your mouth closed, where we're not speaking and we're not thanking, then he is so pleased because then he's winning. And so, but I found that as I listened to Andrew, that so helped me was I could see that I had so much with faith, but I had not recognized how important hope was. And when I started seeing the power of the imagination and using that imagination for good and then when you go into the scriptures in the Bible and you start reading it And you let your imagination, when Jesus is doing things, you let your imagination go with you. You let yourself imagine you were there. You let your imagination start painting these amazing pictures of God. And then from that place, we speak. So hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
When Jesus walked on this earth and did all he did, he had light come from another world. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, is bring light from another world, so to speak. That illumination. And then out of that, about the fear, 91st Psalm, as Pastor Mary's been on, just that first verse, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty, and amplify and brings out stable and fixed.
Yep.
I can't get past stable and fixed. Because everything around when you're dealing stuff is not stable. And it's talking to you. And it's whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's just that stable and fixed. Because the fear and everything else that try it, you know how all that stuff. But the Lord, stable and fixed. So stable and fixed. Because it says, because of who I'm under? God Almighty. God Almighty. God Almighty, the Almighty God, the Almighty God. Well, I mean, I feel so almighty. Yeah, that goes. But wait a minute. It's going to help me if I, as Leah's heart brought out, as I meditate on all these things, it's helping me what? Get stable and fixed, because the meditation brings the right picture.
The right picture.
The right picture. Because you have people teach on things and prosperity, it's all over the place. But the Word brings the right picture. Brings the right picture, and it's not off here, right field, left field. It's the right picture from God. And maybe to start with, it's kind of fuzzy. As we're on that, it gets clearer and clearer and bigger and bigger. To what? I see it. I have it. I know it's for me. Yeah. I believe it. Not because someone else said something. Or it's good to have for them to say something. You know how it is. I must obtain this. I must attain this. Well, it's already there, but you know what I'm saying? It's so, and of course, and we've had this demonstrated. Pastor Mary. And others too, but I mean, has walked through this, but she obtained. But she had to do what Leanne shared to start with. She took that Proverbs 4. And in the midst of it, I know it wasn't so easy. The thoughts and everything else to go with that. But stay with it. And then did some things, natural things, of course, but by the Spirit. It was me also. That's the thank God for the Holy Ghost. There's not a direct pattern for everybody to follow. The pattern is let the Spirit lead us.
Yeah.
Let the Spirit show us.
Because
what's good for one person is not the same path for another person in the process or whatever it is. We just can't make these rules up without meaning to, if that makes sense. So I just, hallelujah. Thank God for the new place. Thank God for the new place. Thank God for the new place. And He's taking us. He's taking us. And that we're ready. We're ready. We're ready. We're ready for this transition. We're ready for this. We're ready.
Amen.
We're ready.
Amen.
Lord's been having to pray that about. We're ready for the new places. We're ready for the new places. Well, that means many things, of course. What's all that mean? I don't know what it means. But when I do it, that's where we're going, to the new place.
Okay.
Does anybody have anything? Your turn.
When Leah was talking, you know, about not speaking the negative, you know, just focusing on the positive. Elisha with the Shunammite came to my mind, you know, when her son was sick, and people along the way, as she went to Elisha, kept saying, you know, what's going on? And she said, don't speak anything. You know, she just had that image in her mind all the time, and she wasn't going to speak anything negatively about it.
I know, I'm so amazed at that story that she had such revelation back then. She seemed like she got a hold of something. It's like she knew not to say things. And she, because her husband asked, she said, all is well. All is well.
That's right. Yeah.
It wasn't well, the natural. She said, all is well. Okay. Otherwise, you get the stuff and leave him, but all is well. I'm so amazed that she. You know, we have teaching. That's all we do some things. It's
like, yeah.
She got that. Mm-hmm. That's something. That's good. Thank you. Anybody else?
All right. Well, we'll take a few minute break. next 7 o'clock.